For the bigger picture on this Irish referendum on gay marriage, we now turn to Lester Fader. He covers LGBT issues around the globe for BuzzFeed, and he's just back from Ireland.
No other country in the world has held a vote, a national vote, on allowing same-sex couples to marry. There have been a handful of other countries that have held votes on constitutional changes that would prevent same-sex couples from marrying, but this is the first time that the entire population of a country has been asked to vote on this question and could allow same-sex couples to wed.
How did that happen in Ireland as opposed to other countries who have legalized same-sex marriage?
Ireland's constitution has a clause on protecting the family, and that was interpreted by many legal experts as prohibiting same-sex marriage. And the Irish constitution only allows constitutional change by popular vote. So they did pass a civil union statute a few years ago, and that was permissible under the constitution. But the fear was that if this was done by an act of parliament, that would be struck down by the courts. So they had to go to the people.
Among marriage equality supporters, is there a preference for how these votes are taken, or is it simply country by country looking at the constitutional issues in each country?
I think a lot of LGBT rights activists would argue that it's inappropriate to put the question of minority rights to a popular vote. And so they would resist that. There's also a political reality, which is until quite recently in most places, if you put this to a popular vote, it would fail. And we've seen that experience in the United States, where the majority of these referenda that we've seen in the U.S. states have passed banning same-sex marriage. And only in the most recent cycle have we begun to see the first victories on the other side.
Like Prop 8 in California.
Well, I mean, Prop 8 was an interesting example because that was the one place that the LGBT rights activists thought they could get the popular vote on their side. And when it failed, it was a really big blow to the movement. And there is some fear among LGBT rights activists that Ireland could prove the same way. The polls have shown consistently overwhelming support for this referendum, but there's a history in Ireland of the gap tightening dramatically in the very last weeks of the campaign. So there's fear that this could go bad, and I think that would be regarded as a setback.
It's interesting because I thought it would be completely the opposite. I thought that going directly to the people would be the most appealing because it would be letting people decide, and so then it's incontrovertible how people actually feel. So I didn't imagine that the preference would be sort of issues.
Well, historically on civil rights questions, courts have led public opinion. I mean, we see that certainly in the United States, both on LGBT rights and on racial equality as well. So there's a long history of believing that the court's job is to protect the rights of the minority from the majority. So the idea of putting that to a popular vote is complicated.
Now, Lester, you've just returned from Ireland. What's your sense of how the vote's going to go down today?
Every indication is that the yes is going to prevail. It's been much more visible. The polls a week out still showed at least a 10-point margin supporting the marriage equality proposal. If people are lying on the surveys, it's hard to know. And certainly the no side would argue that they are being bullied. And that might be keeping some people quiet who wouldn't want to be public in their opposition. But on campaign signs, on posts in the city, seem to be dominated by the yes side. And that's true even in very rural areas where I was. And certainly online, they've been much more visible on Twitter and such. So just remains to see what the actual vote comes in.
Lester Fader reports on LGBT issues for BuzzFeed. Thanks a lot, Lester.
Thank you for having me.